Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're really getting into something fascinating in real estate, how to build, and I mean really master, a thriving business based on listings.
Yeah, this is a big topic.
It is, because for so many agents, it feels like this constant chase, right? Always hustling for the next deal. But what if there's a way to get more than just income, actual control over your time, your life, even who you work with?
Exactly.
So that's what we're digging into today. We're unpacking the core strategies, some maybe surprising facts that top pros use. It's not just selling houses, it's about a whole business model, a shift in how you think.
And that shift, that perspective change, it's absolutely fundamental because let's face it is a competitive world out there. You're really competing for every single customer. And they simply can't call you if they don't know you exist, which means you've got to be putting in consistent time every day, just building that awareness, building your business.
Makes sense.
So our deep dive today, it's going to focus on three main parts, all connected. First, generating leads, finding those people with a real present need. Second, capturing those leads, basically, getting the appointments. And third, converting them, which, at its heart just means satisfying their needs. It really boils down to need determination and then need satisfaction.
Okay, let's dive right into that then, because one thing that really jumped out from the sources is how focusing on listings almost like immediately turns your business into this kind of magnet. You focus on sellers and suddenly buyers just follow. You're not even actively chasing them. How does that work? Why do buyers just gravitate towards listings like that?
Well, it's pretty straightforward, actually. Buyers are always looking for inventory, homes for sale.
Right, what's available?
Exactly. So if you have the listings, you have what they want. They see your signs, they see your ads online, your open houses. Each listing is like a beacon, really, pulling buyers in. And this is what gives you that profound control we talked about. Think about it. First, controlled over income. Being a listing agent, it's genuinely like having money in the bank. You're creating the inventory. You're determining your income flow.
You're not just waiting.
You're not waiting, precisely. Second, control over your time. Much easier to manage that precious resource when you control the properties. You said showing times, open house schedules, meetings.
Yeah, I can see that.
Third, control over location and clientele. Big one. With buyers, they often dictate where you go, right? But with listings, you decide the neighborhoods, the price points, who your clients are, essentially.
That's powerful.
And finally, the numbers show it. Agents focus on listings. They just have a significantly higher conversion ratio. Prospects to appointments, appointments to sales. It's just more efficient.
Wow. Okay, so beyond that control in attracting buyers, the other thing that blew me away was how a single listing isn't just one deal. It's like a whole lead generation ecosystem.
Oh, absolutely.
It's not
Right.
just about that one commission check. Right. The sources say one listing can turn into what, seven new opportunities minimum. How does that break down?
Yeah, minimum seven lead generators from every single listing. It's exponential.
Yeah.
So let's tick them off. You get leads from your internet ads, other postings.
Okay, standard stuff.
Then direct signed calls.
Yeah.
People driving by. Happens all the time.
Yep.
You send out just listed notices to the neighborhood that generates calls. Then when it closes, just sold notices. That shows success, brings in more leads.
Proof you get results.
Exactly. Open houses, huge lead source, often for sellers, believe it or not. We'll get into that more.
Interesting.
Plus, if you do a great job, direct referrals from the seller. And don't forget, that seller often needs to buy their next place. Another opportunity right there.
So that's seven right there, easily.
Easily. So imagine you get 10 listings. That's not 10 opportunities, that's 70 lead generators, minimal. The real power is in that multiplication effect as your listing count grows. It feeds itself.
That completely reframes it. Which brings us back to what you said earlier about redefining the business. Not customer service, not just sales, but the people finding business. Why is that distinction so critical?
Because fundamentally, you have to find the customers before you can do anything else, before you serve them, before you sell to them, before you market effectively.
You can't help someone who isn't there.
Precisely. If you aren't constantly actively finding people with a real estate need, all those other skills, sales, service, they just sit on the shelf. Your business lives or dies by finding people.
Okay, so we've seen the advantages, the sheer power of listings, but all this, it hinges on something more basic, doesn't it? It hinges on you. What's the starting point, the foundation?
You got it. Personal motivation.
The sources seem pretty clear on this. For many agents, the biggest block isn't lack of info or opportunity or skills. It's just getting themselves to do the work. How do you actually build that motivation? You can't just wait for inspiration, right?
Absolutely not. You can't find it, you can't buy it, you can't rent it, but you absolutely can develop it. And the number one way, setting clear, compelling goals.
Not just wishes.
No, not wishes. Goals that actually make you want to get up and do something. And they need to be SMART goals for them to really work.
Okay, break down SMART for us.
Sure. Okay. Specific, yeah. Exactly what you want in writing, like a specific income number for the next year.
Got it.
Measurable, quantifiable. $100,000, not a lot of money.
Right.
Attainable. This is key. You have to believe it's possible for you. Doesn't matter what others think, your belief.
Okay. Personal belief.
Are relevant. It has to mean something to you. Why do you want it? What would you do with that $100,000? Mm. Pay off the house, travel, that's the fuel.
The why.
Exactly. And tee-timed. Give it a deadline in the next 12 months. Setting and working towards SMART goals. That's how you unlock your potential.
But just setting the goal isn't quite enough, is it? There's the mental side. Lots of people struggle with low self-expectation, maybe from past failures. How do you shift from looking back to looking forward? And where does accountability fit in?
Great questions. Mindset is huge. You have to focus intensely on where you want to go, not get stuck looking in the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
That helps fight that low self-expectation pull.
Yeah.
And accountability, it's the linchpin. It's just willingness to accept responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
For your actions, if you're committed to your goals, only you can make it happen day to day.
No one else will do it for you.
Nope. Success or failure, it comes down to holding yourself accountable. And tied to that, you've got to raise your self-esteem, your self-expectancy. Work on improving your number one asset, you. Master the fundamentals. Practice your skills. If you're going to walk in and tell someone you're the best choice for them, you first have to genuinely believe it yourself, deep down.
Right. You have to feel like the right choice to project it. Okay, so let's turn this into daily action. There's this powerful formula mentioned, the game of numbers, sometimes called 5PY, potential earnings yield.
That's it.
And for many, it works out to 560, meaning $60,000 a year. How can doing just five simple things a day lead to that kind of predictable income? Walk us through it.
It really is a game changer when you see it laid out. 5PY. It comes from making consistent daily contacts. Here's the math. Meet five new people a day, talk real estate 5 days a week. That's 25 people a week.
Okay.
That's 100 people a month. Over a year, you've met, talked to, given a card to 1,200 unique individuals.
Wow, 1,200.
Now, okay, maybe 90% forget you. Fine. But 10%, that's 120 people. They become, let's call them card-carrying members of your fan club. They keep the card. They remember you.
All right, 120 fans.
And here's the kicker. Over the next 12 months, 10% of those 120 people, that's 12, will either need to buy or sell themselves, or they'll refer someone who does. 12 transactions.
12 deals just from those daily contacts.
Exactly. And if your average commission is, say, $5,000, 12 times $5,000 is $60,000 a year.
Just like that.
Just like that. Now, if you saw a job ad saying, make $60,000 a year, spend 30 minutes a day doing this one thing, you check it out, right?
Absolutely.
This formula shows you can actually build that predictable income stream through consistent daily action.
That's incredibly powerful, but 1,200 new contacts a year plus follow-ups. Sticky notes aren't going to cut it. What's essential here?
You absolutely need a robust database management system, a CRM, basically. It's non-negotiable for tracking everyone. Names, addresses, phone, email, occupation, kids' names. Crucially, their future needs.
Like someone mentioning they might sell in 6 months.
Exactly. If someone says, my tenant's lease is up in 5 months, I might sell then. You need a system to ping you at the 4.5 month mark. Automate follow-ups, categorize people, send out mass emails or letters.
And the advice is?
Set it up now. Don't wait. Trying to backfill all that data later is a total nightmare.
Got it. Okay, let's tackle something I've heard called the secret agent problem. Agents who almost seem reluctant to let people know what they do. You can't make contracts without contacts, right? What's going on there?
It's a really common trap. Fear of rejection.
Yeah.
Fear of being pushy, maybe.
Yeah.
So subconsciously, they end up looking for people who will only like them. But here's the shift. Your job isn't just finding people who like you. It's finding people who need you. Big difference.
Need you, not just like you.
Right. Give yourself that check up from the neck up, as they say. Change the focus. And this connects to call reluctance, too. That hesitation, even with warm calls.
Mm-hmm. Feeling like you're bothering them.
Yeah. Focusing on the negatives. They might be busy. They might hang up. What's the absolute worst that happens? They hang up. Okay, move on.
So how do you counter that?
You have to consciously substitute the positive. Think about the good outcomes. A pleasant chat, catching someone right when they need help, getting an appointment, a referral, the satisfaction of helping. You choose to focus on the positive possibilities.
That's a deliberate mental shift. Okay, so mindset's right. Let's get practical, making those daily contacts. For agents who, like face-to-face, where do they start?
Well, one really simple, effective way is the basic business card presentation. Say you're at a restaurant, great service. When you pay, just say something like, wow, thank you. You did a really nice job. You'd actually be good in my business.
Oh, interesting approach.
9 times out of 10, they'll ask, oh, what business is that?
Yeah.
And boom, that's your natural opening. Present your card. Say you're in real estate. Ask if they or anyone they know has real estate needs.
And you can use that anywhere.
Anywhere. Bank tellers, cashiers, retail clerks, people in line. Anywhere. You have a brief, positive interaction. And a little tip. Wearing a name badge actually makes people more comfortable. They know who you are right away.
Simple, but effective. Now, the phone, still a key tool. How do you approach that, especially avoiding cold calls and tackling that reluctance?
Yeah, the emphasis now is really on warm calls, not cold. You need a reason for calling, something valuable for them.
Like what?
Offer fair trade items. Give to get. Maybe info on a recent sale in their area if you're calling a neighborhood. Or a free ebook on market trends. A report on home values. Give them a reason to want your call, or at least not mind it. Provide value first.
Okay, value first. Now let's talk sphere of influence, SOI, friends, family, past clients, contacts. A core asset. The sources ask a tough question. If someone asked your SOI for an agent, would they name you? If not, why are they on the list? How do you keep that SOI relationship strong?
Consistency and value. That's the key. Minimum contact, once a month, mail or email. And at least twice a year by phone. But don't just send fluff.
Right. Needs to be useful.
Exactly. I recommend a rotation. Maybe month one.
Yeah.
A news summary, local market recap from last year, predictions for the next. Positions you as the expert, not just sending recipes.
Yeah, definitely more professional.
Month two, a just listed or just sold notice. Show you're active, getting results, evidence of success.
Social proof.
Right. Month three, something personal. Holiday card, anniversary, birthday note. Mix it up. It shows you're paying attention, you're successful, and you care.
And it's not just about maintaining the SOI, right? You need to actively grow it.
Constantly. When you make those daily contacts, offer to add people to your valuable newsletter list. Actively expand your network. Join groups. Volunteer. Meet people through kids, school, church, whatever.
Even small additions add up.
They really do. Add just 5 people a month. That's 60 new potential contacts a year. In 5 years, that's 300 people in your pipeline. That's a serious asset.
Okay, next level. Building a guaranteed referral business. Most agents just hope for referrals, the system of expectation, but the sources push for a system of explanation. What's the difference and how do you get that referral from every customer?
It's about being proactive, not passive. The goal, 1 good qualified referral from every single client. 3 steps. First, explain it. During your listing presentation, tell them your business thrives on referrals. Get a commitment, even just a verbal one, a handshake. Set the expectation.
Set it up front.
2, earn it. You have to deliver amazing, knock your socks off service. Just doing the basic job isn't enough. Be someone they want to brag about, someone they're proud to refer.
Go above and beyond.
Absolutely. 3, ask for it. After the sale, once they're happy and settled, call them. Remind them gently of their commitment. Don't feel awkward. You earned it. They agreed to it. Ask for the referral.
Makes sense. Be clear, be great, then follow up. Now, shifting gears slightly, but still on referrals. Business networking groups. Their whole purpose is referrals. What's the key thing to remember there?
The absolute key.
Yeah.
You need to be the only real estate agent in that specific group. That exclusivity is critical. No internal competition for real estate leads within that network.
To find one where the spot is open.
Or start one yourself. It costs nothing in marketing dollars, just your time and participation. Huge potential.
Let's talk long-term strategy. Farming. Not just mailers, but becoming the go-to expert for a specific area. How do you pick the right farm? And then how do you actually become that expert? Because, you know, some might worry it's putting all eggs in one basket or seems a bit old school.
It's a valid concern, but if done right, it's incredibly powerful and not old school. It's strategic. Picking the right farm is crucial. First, check the earnings yield. Is there enough turnover? 300 homes selling twice a year? Probably not worth it.
Need enough activity.
Right. 2, convenience.
Yeah.
Needs to be close enough, maybe 30 minutes drive max, so you can actually be there, have a presence. 3, relatability. Do you feel comfortable with the people, the vibe of the neighborhood? It's long-term.
Okay. What about becoming the expert?
Research, research, research. Know everything. Covenants, sales history, drive time, school info, amenities.
Yeah.
You have to be the expert to be seen as one.
So deep knowledge.
Deep knowledge. Then the contact plan. Start with a sharp intro letter. But crucially, combine mail with personal contact. Drive the neighborhood. See someone outside. Stop, chat, introduce yourself. That personal touch makes the mailers resonate later. Oh yeah, that agent stopped by.
Makes it real.
Totally. Rotate your contacts. Maybe one group gets a call this month, another gets a visit, another gets mail. Keep it fresh. And the biggest pitfall, giving up too soon. Farming takes time and consistency. It's an investment.
Any other tips for farming?
And maybe build a simple neighborhood website. Not just about houses, but community stuff. Babysitters, local events, landscapers. Be the hub. It drives traffic to you.
Smart. Okay, let's pivot to open houses. Most agents seem to dread them. Time sinks, right? Only 6% of buyers find homes that way.
Ah, but that's looking at it the wrong way. Yeah. Yes, only 6% buy that house from the open house. But the sources flip the script entirely. Open houses are not primarily for selling the house.
They're not. Then what are they for?
Capturing seller leads. Get this. A staggering 42% of people walking into an open house are actually potential sellers. They're the looky-loos, checking comps, seeing what their own home might be worth or what they could afford if they sold.
Wow, 42%, that's huge.
Huge. So you're not just waiting for buyers, you're actively fishing for sellers. You just need to ask the right questions.
Which are?
After the greeting, ask, are you folks looking for a new home for yourselves today? And then the kicker, do you happen to have a property you need to sell before you can make a move? Ask those two consistently and you'll find listings hiding in plain sight.
Game changer perspective on open houses. Okay, another group agents often avoid. For sale by owners, FSBOs. Why the hesitation and why are they actually gold mines?
The hesitation often comes from thinking they'll be difficult, anti-agent, but really they're just trying to save money on commission, like anyone would.
Makes sense.
And here are the realities. There will always be FSBOs. It's a constant lead source. They often convert easier because the need selling the house is already established. And you get to choose which FSBOs to pursue, controlling your location and who you work with.
And the big statistic.
84% of FSBOs eventually list with an agent, usually within about 67 days. So it's not if, it's when and who.
84%. Okay.
Yeah.
So how do you approach them?
You got to accept three facts. One, yes, they can sell it themselves, but they likely won't net as much money as with you. Two, every owner wants the most money possible. Three, therefore, they actually need you to maximize their profit.
So your value proposition is clear.
Very clear. Your goal is just to get an appointment. Evaluate the property, sure, but more importantly, evaluate the seller's motivation. Are they serious? Motivation is everything.
How do you get the appointment, the call?
Keep it simple. Three steps. Identify the owner. Identify yourself. Give a simple reason for calling. Saw your Signet, wanted to pop by for a quick look, might have a buyer, something low pressure. Think of the FSBO train ride. They start at, I'll sell it myself, but 84% arrive at, get me an agent. You just need to be on the train.
Great analogy. Okay, similar category maybe. Expired listings. Agents sometimes see them negatively, but the sources say view them as victims.
Exactly. They're victims of their last agent, usually because of bad pricing or marketing. They're not the problem.
And why are they great leads then?
Because they are motivated. They've wasted time. They're frustrated. They know what they don't want in an agent. And they're usually willing to pay a commission to get it sold this time. They just need the right professional.
Okay. What are the keys to success with expireds?
Sources list seven facts. One, 68% switch agents. Two, you won't be alone contacting them. Speed matters. Three, the sooner you contact, the better. Four, the more often you contact, the better they need time to process. Five, no fact five provided in source. Six, show evidence you get results others don't. Seven, their motivation is key, your job. Show them why they need a different, better agent, you.
And there are stages to working them.
Six key stages. One, prep. Know the property, why it failed. Have five things you'll do differently. Two, contact. Daily mail, daily calls. Be first, be persistent. Mail weekly for 3 months, then monthly forever. Three, get the appointment. Offer value. I'll show you why it didn't sell and how to fix it. Four, evaluate needs. Understand their frustration, their goals now. Five, demonstrate value. Your presentation must address past failures and offer clear solutions, maybe a guarantee. Six, follow up. Consistent, empathetic follow-up is critical. They often need time.
That's a comprehensive plan. Now let's touch on some maybe less obvious out-of-the-box lead sources the sources mentioned.
Sure. First, use your buyers as listing leads. Got a buyer for a specific area with no inventory? Go knock on doors for them. Hi, I'm working for a family desperate to live here. It shows incredible dedication and plant seeds with future sellers.
That takes guts, but I can see the impact. What else?
Attorneys. Specifically probate, bankruptcy, foreclosure, divorce lawyers. They often need to liquidate real estate for their cases. Build relationships so they think of you.
Makes sense. Less competition there too, probably.
Definitely. Also, properties for rent. Contact those owners. Maybe they tried selling before. Maybe they're investors looking to adjust their portfolio. Low competition source again.
Okay.
And this one sounds almost too simple. Garage sales. People having garage sales are often clearing out before a move. Just ask directly, politely.
Yeah.
Having the sale because you're moving. Surprisingly effective.
Huh. Never thought of that.
And finally, builder opportunities. Look at land sales, permits, find the builders. Show them how you can market and sell their new construction better than anyone else. Again, they can't call you if they don't know you exist.
So many avenues beyond the obvious. Okay, wrapping up. Generating leads is vital, but sustaining success also means having an outstanding listing presentation, right? Not just a sales pitch.
Exactly right. Shift your mindset from salesperson to consultant. Your job is to explain value, handle objections, thoughtfully see them as questions, not attacks, and help people make the best decision for them. Empower them, don't just push them.
It all seems to come back to that core idea of consistency, doesn't it? After everything we've covered.
It really does. The single biggest takeaway. Keep your hook in the water at all times. Work your business every single day. Do the daily contacts. Work the SOI. Run the FSBO and expired campaigns. Do the open houses right. Market consistently. Have a website that works.
The fish aren't going to jump in the boat.
They are not. It's competitive. You have to be actively, consistently looking for people with needs so you can be the one to meet those needs.
So it loops back perfectly to that 5PY idea. It's not luck. It's consistent action creating predictable results. 5 daily contacts, 1,200 people met a year. That really can make your financial dreams happen. It feels very achievable broken down like that.
It absolutely is achievable. But it's not enough to just hope things get better or wait for the market to change. Starting today, if you really want more money, more time, more enjoyment from this business, you have to follow a better plan. A deliberate plan. Success isn't magic. It's consistently being out there, finding the need, and filling it.